Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello, 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 my fun audience. Oh my gosh, you are going to learn so much today. Welcome to Mission Accepted, and welcome back to Mission Accepted, because I'm one of the lucky podcast hosts that have people that think we're crazy enough that they want to come back and learn what this mission thing's all about. So I've had so many people ask me, it's interesting, right? When I was choosing the name for the podcast and I was talking to a colleague of mine who we've worked creatively together for a long time, I'm like, you know what I mean? And we're driving in the car, we're coming back from this big meeting, and I'm like, you know, I want it like James Bond, Bourne Ultimatum stuff. You know, like we get in and we stay in and I go, oh my gosh, it's like, when, you know, they open it up and if you accept this mission, then, you know, and then you can't go back. And I go, that's what it's like being an entrepreneur. You know what I mean? You get in there and then you never forget. You might say, I want to go back, but for some reason you stay. And so that's what Mission Accepted is all about. And I love when I get to have a group show I love group shows anyways, because it's so, you know, brings so much variety. But I mean, I by, you know, heart am a servant leader. And I think that when you meet coaches, if you ask them, I think it's pretty fluid. They're like, I'm here to change lives. I'm here to change lives. I'm here to help people. I'm here to get them unstuck. I'm here to da da da. But the coaching is interesting. And we've seen a wave. We've seen an evolution of entrepreneurship. We've seen people stepping into their power. We've seen people getting coached so they can become a coach. There's trainings in schools because we have had such a vast download, if you want to use that word, on both connotations, of things that we should be doing. But the amount of information that's out there, and here's the thing, it is a world of accessibility. So when you want to have an expert coach, and I want to kind of, you know, at one time we all thought coaching was like going to therapy, you know, and you had to be there for 10 years to evolve, right? But here's the cool thing. There's coaches you want to hang out with for like the duration of your life because they're so cool. And then there's coaches that you hang out with to learn a certain skill. And then there's coaches that you hang out with to get you through to the other side. And then there's coaches like fly, birdie fly, you know what I mean? And all of above. So we're going to have a conversation about coaching in general, you know, kind of pop some of the myths that may be stopping people from getting coaching. And also, what is it like to be a coach? You know, what is it like to be a coach? And so I have two incredible coaches with me today. We have Nicole. Nicole, do you want to just kind of wave? Some people are watching us and some people are, you know, just listening to us. So if you're listening, you know, you have Nicole. And isn't it interesting? We are all wearing the same colors. We all have this kind of black, white, you know, gorgeous, let's get this done kind of vibe. So this is Nicole Kirby. And then we have Rachel Collins. So Rachel, just going to give a wave a little bit. So look, let's just kind of break into it. And I'm kind of just, you know, before we get into talking about what it's like for someone to be coach, let's kind of back it up a little bit. Cause we, you know, we've got a tight group with us today. So Nicole, tell people what you do, what kind of coaching you do, and what drew you to that.
Okay. So I do success mindset coaching with entrepreneurial women. So I help female entrepreneurs break through any limiting beliefs, any ceiling they have, get really crystal clear on their big, bold vision, look at the blind spots, break through those so that the vision can be amplified, accelerated, and just really step into exactly what they want. And I was drawn to coaching. I mean, it was just, I think I was 14. I won't say how many years ago that was, but I grew up in this wonderful house. My parents always had so many books and they had self-help books. And I picked up my first self-help book, Leo Buscaglia. I'm totally aging myself. And I just fell in love with psychology. And in my 20s, after I did my psychology degree, I really wanted to see more options for women.
Wow. So we're going to come back to that a little bit. Think about maybe because, what we hear, and I do not like the term buzzwords. Oh, that's a buzzword. It's not. It's like it's an important word. Words are important. We just came from the author, party here. Words are important and they stick. So I'm going to talk to Rachel a little bit, but Nicole, if you can think about maybe, we hear things, and because we hear them often, sometimes they slide over us, right? We hear the word success. We hear the word limiting beliefs. We hear the word going for our dreams, right? Maybe when we come back to you, you can talk a little bit about what does that look like? Like, really, what does that taste like? And I always say, so, for me, I coach a lot around media. And people are like, oh, that's great. And you can see, like, ears, do you know what I mean? Because my topic isn't like so well known, particularly with, women stepping into media. And so being able to say, how many podcasts have you done and no one's called you? They're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, let me get that different. Right. So let us come back to you a little bit because it's important for people to understand what does it look like? What are you feeling? Are you frustrated? Are you like, the end of the year is coming and I didn't quite. So maybe let's pop back to that. Thank you. So, Rachel, so tell us what kind of coaching you do and what drew you there.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm doing a group coaching program and it's called the Focus Flow Success Circle. And what drew me to this was I basically was looking for a way. It's a system that I developed for myself and now I'm teaching in a group coaching model. And I was looking for a way to really deal with a lot of overwhelm and prioritize. And what I found was if I could ground this in my long-term vision, and then work at that within like 90-day planning cycles in a really mindful way, that it allowed me to say no to a lot of things and say a great big yes to the things that really truly mattered. And so what I've done is I've created a group training coaching program where I teach this system to people so they can identify for themselves as well their big why, what really matters to them, and then in a program where there's support, not only from myself, but from fellow participants to really hold each other accountable to make sure that we actually get those things done. And so I think just the power sometimes of naming what it is that you need to do and why, and then knowing that you'll be held accountable to that is really where the power of coaching comes in.
Well, thank you. That's beautiful. And I think that whether it's group coaching or individual one-on-one coaching, and I know a lot of individual coaches have group and individual and vice versa. They both have really powerful dynamics, but I think that that's the one thing that for me, and maybe you ladies can talk about, I'm going to ask you, Rachel, maybe think about an experience that someone's had in having, what's that look like at the end? For someone, where how does it really actualize in their life, right? Because one of the things that I love about hiring experts, and I like I still to this day, if I need advice, I'm looking for that person, is knowing that you just have someone with you. Whether it's because you lack accountability, which isn't my issue. My issue is that I don't always want to do things alone. And sometimes I just want to have someone on that journey with me. Whether it's a new stage in my business or what have you, I just want someone I trust to banter off and to see the holes I may not be seeing, right? So I love the journey of togetherness in coaching, right? So thank you for sharing that. So Nicole, back to you a little bit on when people are needing to have someone step in terms of success or what it is that you do, what is that looking like?
So more and more, and I have seen this trend in the last 4 to 6 months, and I do, as you know, I love to network. So I spend a lot of time with female entrepreneurs. Imposter syndrome, imposter syndrome, imposter syndrome has come up in, I would say, 95% of the conversations I've had in the last 3 or 4 months. So what I hear when I'm coaching is, who am I to do this? I know I want to serve. I have a big goal, but who am I to do that? And so a coach will see in you what you can't see in yourself. And that to me is a bottom line power reason to access coaching. We can't see what's holding us back all the time, yet we feel it daily. The other thing that I'm really noticing a trend is, I think we all see a lot of female entrepreneurs who have come from corporate. I worked at a university. I kind of equate that, right? Very hierarchical. You know, we go to university, we go to school, we do all of these things that are very structurally clear in where the milestones of success are. And then we jump into entrepreneurism, and we all know it's not like this. And we equate success on those old measures, and they're apples and oranges. But I'm seeing the pattern all the time of I feel like I'm failing. And then my next question is, what were your success measures, and how are we going to create new and broader success measures? And for me, I think this is more of a Brendon Burchard thing that always sticks in my mind, but celebrate the efforts. We have to redefine what our success measures are, and we have to broaden them. It can't just be revenue. It can't just be, right? Entrepreneurism is just too much of a ride like that. So that's what I'm seeing a lot of, and that's where I kind of intervene and try and help people.
Well said, my friend, because I think that, again, I mean, when you're dealing with corporate, and it's interesting because even my son, who's 20, who's only had one job really, other than, working for me doing some stuff, but he works at a gym. He goes in, he clocks in and clocks out, and I've been talking to him lately. I'm like, we're ready for you to step in. And he was like, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that looks like. Now he's a new entrepreneur, but whether he's 20 or whether he's 40 or 50 or 60, right? It's like, you don't know what that looks like. And he's like, do I? So, we have him checking in, like putting his time in, like to just kind of ease that process, right? But how do you define success when so many times your success was defined by a job description? Or by numbers at the end of the month, or by a paycheck every 2 weeks. Let's face it, when you get a paycheck every 2 weeks, that is some sort of affirmation and confirmation. You're like, job well done. They paid me, which is interesting because entrepreneurs, when I top on that, entrepreneurs, when you're coaching entrepreneurs, and I know we're all hanging out with entrepreneurs and we are them, and it's mission accepted. So let's face it, our audience is entrepreneurs, right? But when we pay ourselves, if we pay ourselves, okay, let's talk about that. Do we stop? Pay ourselves and go, thank you. Well done. Well done. Or do we just keep rolling it in and we don't even really know what we're paying ourselves, but we know that our rent's paid and our this is paid and all that kind of stuff is paid. But that's really an interesting point that you talk about. And then having someone like yourself on the other side going, whoa, 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 whoa. This and this and this. This is what I see. And I loved how you said broaden. Because a lot of times when it's solo and a solopreneur, we see this. You just see direct results. Even the best of entrepreneurs forget sometimes to live in the gray, right? To live in the gray. That's awesome. And Rachel, what about yourself? Have you had someone that has come to your group or and had an experience? Like, maybe tell us a little bit about what that journey looks like after someone's been in a group. Because a lot of people won't go to group coaching. A
Yes.
lot of people will only go to group coaching. Right, because they don't want to, they don't want to be seen. And then some people go to group coaching because they don't want people to see that. It's interesting. So, from someone who does group coaching dynamic, what's it? When maybe pick someone's journey.
Yeah, so I would say, quite typical to a lot of people I'm working with, very busy professionals, passion projects or side projects on the side, often, that entrepreneurial spirit. But a lot of the people I work with are also working parents. And so if you think about the pressures, right? So you've got a professional job, you've got some type of passion project, you're raising a family. Often there's elder care, it's that sandwich generation, right? And so keeping all of those wheels spinning and feeling good about what you're doing and actually recognizing what you're accomplishing can be really tough. And so when I find is a lot of people are just really, really hard on themselves. And so I think about one mother in particular who was doing a lot, right? But she never felt like she was doing enough, right? Because the job is never done. And so it was really important that we focused in on what was going to be realistic to actually achieve? What can you really do in a day? What can you really do like in a 90-day sprint, right? And so I highly encourage people to ground what it is they want to accomplish in that longer term vision, and then to really narrow that down for like the next 90 days. What is it you're going to focus on as the one or two absolute key priorities that are going to move the dial the most on those things that you want to do? And in doing that, also get really clear in terms of what does success look like in that short-term window, right? So you know you're not going to get all the way to the finish line. Like these are longer-term visions, but what can you celebrate along the way? So at the end of 90 days, you're like, yeah, like I actually did something. And yes, I have a lot of things I haven't gotten to, but I did something significant, and I can feel good about that. And so I think just really starting to change that mindset and then helping people get better at estimating what's realistic to accomplish, and then be grateful and easy with themselves and less judgmental of themselves along that path. It just empowers us to build that momentum and then keep going and then estimate for the next 90 days.
I love that. I love that you said that they were comparing not doing enough to feeling like they were enough. And Nicole, you must come across that in your practice as well. And for our listeners that are listening, that stop and recognize. But for people that do a lot of projects, like you said, you're dealing with a lot of people that have family as well. I think whether we are in family, have family, extended family, or you've built a community that we are responsible to. I think that's a really good point that someone on the outside can really stop and say. We do in the 262 world, and my audience knows 262 world, and so do you two ladies. We do an ask party. We just was talking about this on the group author and the ask party, and it's like, what do you need in the next 30 days? Now, first of all, it's super hard for people to ask, and we watch that process, right? I'm going to ask for something, but tightening it up, really clarifying what it is that they're looking for, right? So when I hear both of you share, it's like sometimes the pain's not obvious. So Nicole, I'll go to you. So you have women that come to you. It doesn't sound like they always know what it is that they need to do. But they just know you were saying like there's something that they're feeling. So I want my audience to feel encouraged. So like I said, sometimes there's still this old paradigm around, and let's just kind of debunk some of that around coaching is therapy. Coaching is, counseling. Can you expand on that a little bit, Nicole? Like it's a painful place where people don't know what to do, and maybe talk a little bit about that.
I think what I've noticed about the difference in coaching and therapy, and I think they both have they're complementary. Coaching is often forward facing. Coaching is often very action oriented. I at least in the way that I've been trained, I don't go into the past very much. Whereas therapy is examining past patterns. Coaching looks to being clear on the future you want to create, who you want to become, who you want to serve, how do you want to grow. So it's very future and facing, and very action oriented. It'd be very seldom that I would ever do a coaching session with somebody where they have not defined some type of action. And that doesn't mean that it has to be groundbreaking. In fact, oftentimes it's the little workable, manageable, like Rachel's alluded to, being really concise about what you feel will help you feel like you're progressing. I think I guess that's a great word. One of the my trainers always said, she said, life is about progress. And I think coaching is the structure with which we can accelerate that.
Wow, very cool. Very cool. Let's talk about some of the things that happen after someone's been coached, right? So there's the uncomfortableness, there's, people get flooded out. I don't use the O word. Get flooded out. They got lots of things that are going on in their life. What are some of the surprises? Do you know what I mean? I think it's always cool. You go, you have an issue, you want to work on this. And then there's some surprises because it's been my experience, and maybe you ladies can say yay or nay, that when you change something, everything changes. So maybe I'll ask both of you this question. So Rachel, let's talk to that a little bit about what are some of the other sides?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the greatest gifts that can come out of this is, you know, letting go of perfection, right? So progress over perfection. I think that's a huge gift and a learning, like for many of us on this journey. And I think where people often struggle is just in trying to really identify like the next step, right? And so being able to find a way to like trust yourself and tune into your intuition. I think that's another one of those surprise gifts that comes out when this is well done. So the answer is not being handed to you. It's authentic to you. It's coming from within. And maybe you knew that, right? Like you had that inkling, but learning to really articulate it and then trust yourself and then take the next step, even if you're not sure, right? Like that's the other kind of leap of faith in this is, okay, I'm going to try it. And starting to adapt more of that growth mindset where I can try it. And if it doesn't work, then I can pivot, right? It's not a failure. And so I think really reframing like a lot of the language that we use, how we think about our experiences is just very empowering and sets us free.
Wow, that's some great things. And Nicole, for yourself, I mean, maybe you had someone that was like,
You know, it's really interesting. I think I speak so much to the connection between vision and motivation. So I think I tend to attract women who at that moment are feeling that waver in motivation. And let's call it what it is. In entrepreneurism, that's just part of the game, right? But it's how do you create sustained motivation? And I love to work with people on their identity. And guess what? Who are you? Who do you want to become? Who are you? Who, as you serve, who do you want to grow into? How do you want to develop? And I love, love, love so much when I have a client say, I didn't know that's who I was. I get goosebumps literally saying that. And then they have the confidence to really go big and go bold. And in 2025, I'm really going to be focusing on helping people with their relationship to money. And it goes hand in hand with all of that. And then you can go after that big, bold dream, right?
Wow. So I'm hearing some great things. I'm hearing confidence, right? Like you work here and all of a sudden you have confidence over here. I've seen it, you know, we've been on both sides of the coin. So you're doing work, you're working with a coach on maybe increasing your prices. And the next thing you know, you can say no to somebody in your family who's always over asking of you. You're all of a sudden now being able to tighten the time that you spend in meetings that aren't serving. You're able to honestly parent different, right? Parent different. And also I love how you talked about having a stronger belief in your intuition. You know, as you've been asserting with someone at your back and then, you know, fly little birdie fly a little bit, that there's that gauge. And, you know, you see it when you're coaching people, you're like, oh, they're coming back and you're seeing it. And then you get to work bigger and stronger. And I love that you're working with the financial piece, particularly with entrepreneurs, because that can be a whole different ballgame as well. You can start to get confidence over here. I call it, you know, there's self-esteem and biz esteem, right? You start to get biz esteem, right? And then someone can, you know, knock you down a little bit in life outside of your work, and somehow it can bleed in to what you're doing in business. You might be afraid to go for something because you've got an issue going on with a family member. And I love when you're working with a coach, how they kind of keep that, they keep building you and keep building you and working from within out. I mean, really, isn't that it? Like you start to see people act differently. Ladies, it's almost time to wrap up, and I want to circle back a little bit. I got a kind of question that I'm going to ask you that's completely off target. And was there anything that you wanted to say to our audience today? You are both speakers, you are both authors, you are both coaches, and everything's going to be in the show notes, right? Is there anything that you would like to say to wrap up about anything you have going on, or a message about just your industry or what it is that you're, like you just shared about what you're working on? Nicole, I'll start with you.
I really am doing a deep dive into understanding imposter syndrome, but like I say, 2025 will be group programs, a release of group programs focused on relationship to money, understanding where you have conflicting money values, because it's all connected, and then clearing some of those away. So that's been my focus right now.
I'm happy you're moving over. She's moving to my city. She's been in my province. Now she's gonna be in my city, and we're gonna go play. We're gonna go play. I had someone talk to me today. She's like, "You don't have anyone that lives around you." I'm like, "No, but she's coming."
I
I
cannot
didn't even know
wait.
you were on this show. I'm like, "No, she's coming." All my people live in the valley. Okay, Rachel, for yourself, I know you've shared about your groups and what have you, but is there anything more that you want to share with the audience before we wrap up today?
Yes, my focus is really around mindful productivity, and there's a lot of different ways to connect with me. So I know my website link will be out there. I do have a free program as well to get people started, which is called Mindful Momentum. And I've just founded a LinkedIn group on mindful productivity community. So looking forward to connecting with many people. And thank you so much for the time. Just fabulous conversation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I love that, right? I mean, it really kind of, and so mindfulness is where it's at. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to ask one completely different question just to kind of shake up the energy and leave you leaving you vibrating. And so, Rachel, you probably know what I'm going to ask. So, you're on your way to a desert island. Nicole, you probably remember this too. You're on your way to a desert island. Who knows what you're listening to now? But music, man, it is just a game changer. It inspires us, it motivates us. I honestly think it should be in the criteria of being an entrepreneur. You gotta pull a source from somewhere. You're on your way to a desert island. You get to take one album. You're packing today. What are you taking today? Rachel, that's for you.
That's for me. Okay. I'm gonna go with the Beatles and Abbey Road.
Nice. Okay, Nicole, what are we dancing to?
Sheila E., Glamorous Life.
She's like, I love it and I'm sticking to it. Okay, look at listeners and viewers, thank you so much for joining us again for another week. And you know what's going on here. I mean, you know because you're active. Look, we've got some really cool stuff going on. There's a big public Facebook group, 262, that you get to hang out with these women, our podcast people, everyone and anyone. And if you are an entrepreneur, every Tuesday, we call it Turn It Up Loud because we like music over here, and post whatever it is that you like. If you want to be on the stage with the 262 Summit, if you want to be on the stage of the podcast, we are booking for a three-part mini series, which I got to tell you is super fun when you, as our listeners, and you know you're a listener, you get to watch people through this incredible journey, and it's almost like they take you through their craft with them. Anyways, there's so many good things. If you are in LA, and I am going to timestamp this because we'll be going at year after year. If you are in LA, February 27th, we are going to be doing an incredible Oscars and event. And March 2nd, get your tickets, contact me, all of our friends, 262 sisters. We will be at an incredible Oscar watching party with so many people of consideration and celebrities. I don't have time to list them. I barely had time to scroll and look at the email after email. Come and share and have a meal with us, have a cocktail with us, and celebrate because we got something to celebrate that day. We would love for you, our listeners, who have been supporting us from the outside. I mean, it's all about energy. You guys have been supporting. So if you want on the stage, get on the stage. You may call. You know where I am, devdrummond.com. Not typical people, it's my name. So get yourself here. Thank you for what you do. Ladies, thank you for joining us today. And audience, as always, you be well and stay groovy.